Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast. Put your seat in the upright position, fasten your seatbelt, and adjust your oxygen masks. If you're travelling with children, adjust your mask first and blow your whistle if you are in trouble. Let's hope the Cats aren't in trouble. It's finals time. Get your helmets on, Cat fans. Geelong are top of the table, and they have a monstrous chance to advance straight through to a prelim Friday night against those stinking Magpies. So, Tom, Ben Casanilia with you. Kerr's Hire podcast, Geelong Cat Attack podcast, and big shout-out to the team there, Kerr's Hire, Kingy.
North Geelong, Ocean Grove and Grovedale. Your local hire company since 1982, Benny.
You can hire anything there. You can get yourself, just if the lovely's given you a bit of grief, you can just go down there and they'll have one on the shelf.
They've been they're your local Wackanoisen dealer too.
Oh, I've had a couple of Wackanoisens over the journey.
You're a Wackanoisen. If you had the choice of anybody else in the top five as Geelong's qualifying final opponent, so Collingwood, Richmond, Brisbane, West Coast, is this the one you'd prefer?
Oh, look, I don't know. But given Geelong's finals record, you're never quite sure. But all I know, Kingy, is if there's a slogan for this year, for the Cats, this final series for the Cats, I know what it is.
Yes.
It's the no excuse finals campaign.
There is no excuse.
Nah, they've been on top of the table. Their form in the first half of the year, they were clearly the best team.
Yep.
I know that counts for nothing come now, but for the first 12 games of the year or 11 games of the year, they were clearly the best side. Second half of the year has been a little bit patchy, but their last three games have been really good. Demoralised North Melbourne, kept them to a goal. Good effort against Brisbane. I know they were beaten, but they did a lot right that day. Got beaten at the death. Maybe the weather played a part late in the game. Yep. And then they were good against Carlton, albeit
clinical against Carlton.
Yeah, albeit Carlton potentially went on their Mad Monday a week early, but you can only beat what's in front of you.
They're already at Lammy's.
Yeah, they were at Lamb Chops till 3. Does it still close at 3?
I have no idea.
I've got a funny story about Lammy's.
Yeah, but, no, probably not to be told here.
So it's all set up for them. They don't have any injuries. Their opponent has some players who are underdone. In DeGoey, obviously hasn't played for probably 5 weeks.
Yep.
Steel Sidebottom obviously has played recently, but just has that sort of ruptured testicle, which doesn't sound great.
Stevenson's only played a VFL.
Stevenson hasn't played for 2.5 months. Mm. You've got Mason Cox not playing. You've got Tom Langdon not playing. You know, obviously Daniel Wells hasn't been in the mix all year. Darcy Moore, there's got to be a question mark over him. They've got a very small forward line. Jordan Roughead is going to have to play forward, having really not played there a whole lot.
He's actually had a cracking year, Jordan Roughead.
He has down back.
Yep.
He struggled a little bit up forward. He was okay against Essendon for a quarter, but he has struggled when they've tried to push him forward. Mm. He's not a. It's a bit like, for mine, it's a bit like Harry Taylor playing forward. Okay. He might play the odd good game, but I don't think he can rely on him.
So is this where Geelong at selection maybe go? Well, Collingwood don't have much of a tall forward line. We have Taylor and Henderson down back.
Henderson's out. Kolajasny and Henderson out.
Okay, well, I'm just putting this to you.
Yep.
And they go, well, we'll play blitz halves and the ruck and Stanley doesn't play.
No.
Won't happen?
I don't think so. They'll play Harry Taylor, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yes. But Harry's had a pretty good year.
And in some ways, I mean, it's catch-22, but in some ways Geelong probably want Darcy Moore to play because it means Roughead probably plays forward,
yep,
and then he's the obvious matchup for Taylor.
Yep.
Brody Mychek's an interesting one. He's their goal kicker. He's the one that can catch.
He's a good player.
He is. So he's more of a mid-sized player. I mean, he's probably slightly above the average. He'd be 192,
yep,
something around those dimensions, which means you've got the option of Henry, potentially, or Kolajasny, but Kolajasny goes to DeGoey when he's deep, and that means Blitzars probably plays on Mychek.
Yep.
So Mychek's a pretty aerobic sort of animal, I think. He gets around the place, which suits Blitzars.
Yep.
And Blitzars he'll have a reach advantage over him. It'd be a bit like when Buster Douglas took on Mike Tyson. The reach advantage ended up being decisive because Big Buster was able just to keep him at arm's length and then knock the little fella out, which to the chagrin of many who'd punted old Tyso at $1.02 when he was on the canvas. It was fantastic. I'll never forget that day. But there was a great documentary on that.
Was there?
The Americans do sports documentaries.
Oh, the 30 for 30 series.
Better than anyone.
ESPN's 30 for 30.
Yeah, the Buster Douglas one. It was Buster Douglas, wasn't it? That knocked out Tyson.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, He was $14 in a two-horse race, and old Old Tyso had to dust himself off.
The best. There's a couple of really good ones out of 30 for 30. We digress. The ESPN, the one that I think it's June 13th, the date, where so 1994, where so many things happen on that date in terms of basketball. There was something in one of the other American sports, but also that was the day of the OJ chase.
Oh.
And they bring it all together. There's no narrative to it. It's just footage from that's all interspliced. It's fantastic. And the other one is the World Series game in 1989 between San Francisco and Oakland when the San Francisco earthquake hit. And the game was about to start at Candlestick Park. And the TV coverage goes, and you can hear one of the commentators go, "I think we're having an earth." And then
that was it.
Coverage goes dead.
Yeah, wow. Do you know that O.J. Simpson chase? Do you know that I knew that he was guilty?
Mm.
You know, because what happened? Dawson Simpson was going for a run that day and he actually ran past him. That was the slowest police chase of all time. He was doing 20. And the police were keeping a respectful distance from O.J., who wasn't really trying to get away. I'm not sure what he was doing. I think he was trying to plot a plan. We do digress, though, Kingy. Back to Friday night.
Yeah, sorry.
Look, I just think it's all set up for the Cats. I was having a look. I think they finished around about 160 points clear in points against. Mm. The next best was actually Hawthorn. And they had missed the finals, obviously. So Geelong, and then in terms of another finalist, Geelong were more than 200 points clear in points against.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that all this counts for nothing once they reset, but
new season.
It means that over the course of a long season, defensively, the Cats have been really good.
Yep.
And I know Geelong fans would be thinking, oh, past finals record. Now, it'll get bought up.
So they are 3-8, is it?
3-9.
3-9.
Since 2012.
Yep.
So they're running at 25%.
Yep.
33%. No, 25%.
Yeah.
Maths was never a strong point.
No.
Nor was accounting, because Brian Grubb said to me in year 11 accounting, he taught me up there at St. Joey's, and do you know what he said? Yeah. I was sitting in the front stalls, and he said, "Accounting's a subject that excites organised minds." And I just knew that.
You don't have an organised mind.
I got 55%. So I never really flourished at accounting. But so Geelong, and if you're thinking about the course of a season, Geelong's best, if they can produce it, that's the if. If they can produce it, I think, beats Collingwood. And this game...
This is massive.
If whoever loses this game is under serious threat of going out in straight sets.
Because they get the Eagles.
Yeah. And the Eagles play well at the MCG.
Yep.
Don't worry about them having to travel. That won't worry them. And I was saying to someone the other day, had Hawthorn beaten... I know it was a hiccup, but had Hawthorn beaten... West Coast beaten Hawthorn in round 23, they probably would have been second favourite for the premiership with a double chance, and off the back of some really good form in the second half of the year, including a loss to Richmond by a goal in a game that could have gone either way. But they just, to use a vernacular, they shit a diff against Hawthorn.
They fluffed their lines.
They shit a diff. And they are a genuine premiership contender from fifth. They could win it from fifth.
They could. Big ask, though. They have to come to Victoria every week, basically. Or potentially have to go to Brisbane. So they will come. They come to that. If Brisbane will win, so the Eagles win, they come to Melbourne for either Geelong or Collingwood. And the winner of that, if Brisbane were to win their qualifying, they'd have to go to Brisbane. They'd go Melbourne, Brisbane, Melbourne to win the flag. That is a big ask.
That is a big ask, but they're capable of doing it. They've got the cattle to do it. They're a really even team. They've got stars on every line. That's all in the future for the Cats. What they've got to do is beat Collingwood.
Yeah. And now you talk about no injuries. The one that they would have liked to have got back, but he won't be back, I don't think now, is Jordan Clark. And we'll find out today. Oh. So we're recording this on Tuesday morning. Chris Scott will face the media mid-morning. And I suspect that's when he'll tell us that Jordan Clark won't play this year.
I'm a bit bemused by the whole Jordan Clark situation, and obviously not across it completely medically, but I just don't understand. If I'm looking at it at face value, he seriously injured his elbow at training.
Yep.
The elbow, even though they basically patched him up.
Yep.
It's not right.
It needs surgery.
He needs surgery as a first-year player. As a 19-year-old,
would you have just said him?
And you are trying to patch him up to come in and play potentially off the back of a break in a final. That's some pretty ordinary decision making. I would have thought. I mean, and as I say, I don't know the ins and outs of it.
Mm.
But if that's face value, if that's a Joel Selwood, or that's a Dangerfield, or that's a bloke who's got 100 games under his belt, okay,
yep,
roll the dice, because they probably can come in and overcome. You're talking about a kid who's playing his first year of AFL footy. And I guarantee they probably put him in for surgery, have they?
I don't know yet. We'll find out today. But that's what we'll probably have. He didn't see at the VFL game on the weekend,
which is staggering. If he can't, he couldn't see. He lasted, what, half?
He
was injured a quarter time.
He got injured early. He came back, and then they put
him in the rack. Just from the outside looking in, I don't think that's the greatest decision making of all time.
So your changes right now, what are your changes? So you're bringing...
Colin Jasny comes in.
For?
Henderson.
Atkins.
Well, my this is the interesting one. I'd bring in Atkins.
For
Gary Rowan.
Okay.
Gary Rowan, unfortunately, for reasons that probably will never be explained, you know, when you put your hot dogs on.
Yep.
Okay, and you're at a you pop the Frankies, the old just the you got to have the skin on Frank. It's once you go
the,
skin off,
the Hutton's footy Franks.
Yeah, oh, they still have those. I don't know if they have those anymore. Hutton's footy Franks are best. once you put that, you know, you put your hot dog water on, and then you pop three or four in, and the you know the couple might have one, and then you think, oh, you have one, and then sort of 45 minutes later.
You want another one?
Yeah, but then you go and test the water and it's stone cold. Well, that's Gary Rowan. He is he could not be colder. He is riding like Damien Oliver when he came back from suspension. He was horrific for a while. You can't fathom that he could play the first half of the year like he did and play the second half like he did. Mm-hmm. What's he kicked two goals in?
So he had 20 goals after 9 games.
And he's got 22, hasn't he?
24, I think.
24. And he looks sore. Add the fact that he's not probably 100% right. Gary Rowan is a bloke who needs absolutely everything going his way.
Correct.
To be of benefit to the team.
Yep.
And he's slightly injured. He's completely out of form. But they'll play him, is my thought.
The other thing is, too, that with the VFL now being out, basically the team that Geelong plays this week is probably the team that's going to probably carry them through, because there'll be blokes not playing footy now.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's an injury.
Unless there's an injury, what Scott picks on for Friday night is probably what we're going to see for a majority.
So would you play Gary Rowan?
Yep.
I just don't see it. We had 6 possessions against Carlton.
Yep.
They won by 68 points. They won by 12 goals and he's touched the ball 6 times. And I know he doesn't. It's not all about him touching the ball, but his pressure wasn't there either. He's just so out of form. Atkins, you at least know, will provide you with something.
Do you think they played him before? Is it potential they played him for that Carlton game? Because if they don't, then that means he would have played no footy for over a month. And it was just a case of, we just got to get you out there.
Yeah, but potentially. But he looks sore at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, they've brought him back too early. Yeah. And he's re-aggravated whatever the injury is, or aggravated it. And He's just not the sort of player that can play with anything going against him.
We'll find out today.
Yeah, well, that's a big one. Reece Stanley holds his spot. So
yes.
For mine, the other one that they've talked about, obviously, is Zach Tui.
Well,
who they've tried to hide up forward.
Well, one journalist had him out of the side, picking a mock side. This is how desperate some media outlets get during the off week. Let's pick mock sides for the finals. And one of them had...
Yeah, well, the fact that they've tried to put him up forward is probably not great. It's an indication that they're more settled with the back six with him out of it.
Mm.
So they've tried to...
Mind you, he
just on face value, he performed better against Carlton than Gary Rowan.
Well, he kicked 2 goals.
Yeah.
He was lively.
He's fit.
Yep.
My fear is they'll take Gary Rowan in. Yep. And Gary Rowan's form in the finals is wow.
Yeah, he hasn't been great for the Swans.
Hasn't been great. Wow, that's an understatement.
So the Cats will have potentially 4 first-time finalists. Narkel, Radaglia, Myers, Atkins.
Yep. Well, Atkins, if Rowan doesn't come out, I don't see Atkins getting in.
Mm.
Or Tui. Who else would the...
Well, it'd be hard to drop Atkins, wouldn't it?
Well, he was out of the team for that final game, so they technically...
But he was out with a...
Yeah, yeah.
Dropped.
My thing is I'm more confident in what Tommy Atkins could bring to the table than I am Gary Rowan. Mm. Now, Gary Rowan was to play well, might potentially have any more of an impact than Tommy Atkins, mm. but Gary Owen hasn't played well for 3 months.
No, he's battled. And that's putting it nicely. You want some questions?
Yeah, what are they?
Foxdog50, if we are going after Jack Stephen, what would you give up? I'd love our tradition to continue. Which VFL player would you pick up to put on our main list or rookie list? So, you wouldn't give a lot for Jack Stephen.
I would be giving, if you know, if you're opening up your prize cupboard and you had a like an old polo that was out of date, that's what I'd be giving up for Jack Stephen. I just cannot understand for the life of me why they're pursuing Jack Stephen.
Which Geelong VFL player would you pick up to put on our main list or rookie list them? I have one answer and one answer only. Jackson McLaughlin.
Yeah. The Joey's kid. The Finkelstein kid.
Well, in the end, I think only a handful played in the final. One of those was Black. The other was Ben Reid, who's mid to late 20s, who's a very good VFL player. Cal Mitchell. Played, but he's probably the same. Like he's, you know, good, very good VFL player, but
he's not taking the next step.
No. Whereas McLaughlin, Geelong have had a history with these VFL blokes that they've already been told. So this was the time. Atkins was told in August.
Mm.
Stewart was told, I think, in July.
But I just don't understand. He's a small forward. That's it. He's small.
No, but he has worked. He works up into the mid.
In their VFL, but he's small.
Yeah.
He is small. So you're going to.
So is Caleb Daniel.
True, but he's elite skill.
McLaughlin's
your lively small forward. But he's a true traditional lively
footy,
small forward.
Uses the footy well.
Does. You bring him into a team that already has Parfitt, Dalhouse.
Parfitt's going to go into it. Parfitt's eventually going to transition into midfield.
Grind Myers.
I think Myers
You've got Rowan. You've got Atkins. You bring him into a team that already has. So what happens then? So Jermaine Jones is out?
He's out of contract.
Well, so you're saying McLaughlin would be better than Jermaine Jones because otherwise you'd keep Jermaine Jones because they play the same role.
Yeah.
So I just don't. Geelong have a plethora. That's another nice word, plethora.
Rolls off the tongue.
Right up there with spasm.
Yep.
Of those sorts of players. I'm not saying Jackson McLaughlin shouldn't get a go, but I'm just saying that position, there's quite a few of them already in front of him. He'd want to be biding his time. What is he, 20?
21,
yeah, okay. Oh, look, it's what Geelong need is a key defender, a young key defender. That's what they need. They've got absolute donuts in the cupboard.
Ointment's
that's another really strong sort of word. Ointment. It just makes you laugh every time you say it. Just even, I said to the chief handicapper at home the other day. I had a little cut, and I said, "Look, I'm going to apply some." And I just looked at her, and I just sort of said it, and I used the fingers, and I went, "Ointment." And do you know what she said? She goes, "You're a dickhead, Ben." And I said, "Okay, Ben. I'm going to go and apply my ointment."
What is your pass mark for finals?
From top?
Grand final.
Yeah, I would have thought. From top with no injuries, with lots of players in pretty good form, I would have thought a grand final is the bare minimum.
Yep.
Has to be.
Yeah, anything less
is
a failure.
Yeah, and I mean, no team will have excuses, but Collingwood legitimately have...
injuries.
Yeah, and some guys who are coming back who they're bringing rushing, or not rushing back, but
they're not.
It hasn't actually all synced up well for them.
They're underdone.
Yeah.
Foodles05. Botsmaster who asked about your pass mark. Foodles05.
Foodles.
Hi, guys. I could be wrong, but it seems to me that last forward spot is a battle between Atkins and Tui. Who would you pick and why? Also, can you see Tui in the team, if not forward?
Yeah, look, it's a good one. I think. The problem is, do you go with the experience in finals? Zach Tui is the experienced player. Do you go with the tenacious sort of terrier like Atkins, who you know is probably going to lay 10 tackles? He may not get a whole lot of the ball. And you've got to get that right. Mm-hmm. Tui's being played out of position. It's not his natural position.
No.
Tommy Atkins has played there all year. And I know he's inexperienced, but I'd be giving the nod to Tommy Atkins. But I've got a funny feeling, Geelong, they have a history of going with experience,
yep,
and that they're going to give the nod to both Tui and Rowan.
Keyboard Warrior, he Here is an idea straight from the Nuffies regarding home ground finals. Why don't we change the ground markings to better reflect Cadinia Park and narrow up those wings?
We could just bring in the MCG stands, do you reckon? Yeah. They could be on wheels. We could get the southern stand on some wheels and just push it in a little bit. I actually agree with the coach. I don't obviously do that all the time. But I agree. Geelong, it's... I know some people jump down. Geelong, home ground, is GMHBA Stadium. If you battle all year for a 22-week season, you play your finals at GMHBA Stadium, if you earn the right. So let's... And the theory that more people will see the game at the MCG, well, okay, so if GWS hosts Collingwood, they won't be able to play that game at old Shitsville.
Giant Stadium.
Giant Stadium, because they'll get more
than
20.
And they won't.
They get... I reckon they will. No. They get more than 20. So Gold Coast, if Gold Coast were to play Brisbane in a final, they get more than the required number at the old...
Metricon.
Yeah. So they'd have to move that as well. So, but they won't.
No, because we're in a very compromised composition. Yeah. Competition.
I just think that Geelong need to have... And I'm happy for the coach to keep banging that drum, because I think that it needs to be banged.
But, does it become hollow when you start losing games of footy at the MCG and, you know...
Regardless of where Geelong was,
in 07, 9 and 11?
Well, I think that as time's gone on and it's become truly a national competition.
But we've been truly a national competition.
Well, Geelong, it's always been spoken about, but it's usually been paid lip service. Now the coach is starting to push. Bomber Thompson, they could have played two teams on the one day and beaten them. Yeah. That team he had. So he didn't care.
No.
Chris Scott knows that it's a pretty big advantage. And I reckon the club should just keep pushing, because it's Geelong. Geelong's home ground is here. It's not Melbourne. Mm. We're not a Melbourne team. Okay. We're a Geelong team.
But they're happy to take two home games a year for the money.
Relinquish those. Play all 11 down here and have this as your home base. If that's what they want, if that would satisfy the criteria to play home finals, don't just play all 11 here and... then push to have all your finals played here, because you don't play at the MCG.
So would you be happy with every second Easter Monday being played here?
Correct.
Okay.
Why not?
Oh, I'm not saying why.
Wouldn't it be more advantageous for you trying to get the 4 points?
Absolutely.
In terms of a dollar, it may hurt them slightly, but I think they make pretty good dollars on home games.
They do.
So I don't understand. Push to play all 11 games here and piss off playing in Melbourne.
Larry Donoghue's joined us. Not the Larry Donoghue, but somebody who calls
have one with the man who kicked a ton.
Yeah, which the top pub at Winchelsea?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you think this year Geelong might just come out all guns blazing, as opposed to the past few finals efforts? A hit-the-ball-hard approach from the first bounce to the end against the Pies is crucial to come out victorious.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Geelong have been woeful in first quarters.
Yeah, their first quarters, they've been getting blown away. And the key, Kingy, the key is don't fumble. Don't fumble. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the Swans, I heard Paul Roos talking about the Swans. They used to keep a stat of fumbles. And if they fumbled 13 times or less in a game, they won 80% of those games.
Wow.
So it's crucial that the first 10 minutes, guys like Selwood, Dangerfield, the guys who have got clean hands,
Kelly.
Maybe Harry Taylor takes a mark, Kelly does some stuff, Ablett, that they lead the way and the team grows in confidence. Because that first 15 minutes for the Cats...
Yep.
is absolutely crucial, because, like, as you mentioned, I mean, you'll probably be able to get some of those score lines up at quarter time in recent finals, but I remember the prelim over in Adelaide, it was like 400 goals to one after 4 minutes. The game against the prelim...
against the Swans in 2016.
...was exactly the same. I think it was 7-1 at quarter time. Look, it's absolutely critical for just to settle the nerves, because there'll be a little bit of tension... no doubt, and there's this expectation on the Cats, given that they all the factors we've talked about in terms of spoken about in terms of being on top and no injuries and a good list and being the best defensive team. There is an expectation from the playing group, as was asked the question before. Yeah. What's the bare minimum? The players know that the bare minimum's got to be reaching the grand final. So with that becomes a bit of nervousness, and Geelong have got to be able to settle that early in the game.
Coach will trot out the line. This is a different team.
Yeah, well, it's the same coaching staff.
5-3-0 against Melbourne in the elimination final last year. Richmond 2-4-4 behinds in the qualifying final of 2017. It was 3-1-2-2 Geelong's way against the Swans in the semi-final of 17. It was 6-3-1-2 in the prelim final of 17. In 16, Geelong kicked 2-3-1-2 against Hawthorn, but Sydney kicked 7-2-5 behind. Oh, I remember watching that on TV going, are you kidding me? This wasn't supposed to happen.
It's been a theme. And the thing that, and the coach will say it's a different team, and as you mentioned, and to a degree that's true. And the one thing I think is different about this team is that they defend much better.
Yep.
The midfield, you know, it's not the greatest defensive midfield, but the team as a whole does defend much better. Even in games where they've been beaten, they've actually defended really well. So, bar the game they lost to, they lose to 6 goals by.
This year?
Yeah. They lost by 34 points, didn't they, to somebody.
Port Adelaide gave them.
No, they ended up being...
Is that a bit tighter? Hang on.
Well, they actually defended them quite well. Even the game...
Fremantle was 34 points.
Yeah, Fremantle, they got hammered after...
Port Adelaide was only 11 points. Actually, yeah. Port Adelaide, Tommy Atkins had to kick that goal late on the run. They actually would have had... The margin would have been a goal.
Yeah, well, my point is that when they've lost, they've actually kept the opposition to a relatively low score. So they've just struggled to score at times in the back half of the year. So finding a way to hit the scoreboard early and getting clean hands on the pill in the first 15 minutes will be critical.
So the Cats haven't conceded more than 100 points this year?
No, only and it hasn't happened since 1963, I don't think.
And they won the flag.
Or 1967, it might have been. It was in the 60s.
And they were in the grand final.
Yeah.
Fremantle's 95 is the biggest score they've conceded. They conceded 85 to Hawthorn, 75 to Brisbane, 71 to the Bulldogs, 67 to Port Adelaide.
Defensively, they're being sound all year, and that's why I think the difference is with this team is that even if the flow is against, they don't get scored against heavily. But we've said that before, and then hit finals, and suddenly the heavens open up. So let's just hope they can stay sound on Friday night.
Cat is 28. If worst-case scenario happens and the Cats go out meekly in straight sets, where to next for the club?
That is a really good question. And I don't think... Who's penned that?
Cat is 28.
Yeah, well, Cat is... To be honest with you, I don't think anybody's thinking about that.
No.
That would be exactly right. Where to now? And I think there'd be some head-scratching going on if that was the case. Okay. I don't know what... Honestly, nobody would have that in their brain right now. And if that was to happen, I think it would be a shock to everybody. But... It potentially could create a divergent path for the Cats, but it's...
Do you reckon the Cats are barracking for Essendon on Thursday night?
Essendon. If Essendon started the game sort of 45 minutes before the Eagles, they still wouldn't win, I don't think.
Do you know what? It's the biggest free hit of all time for Essendon.
It is, but West Coast will be steeled by that loss at home.
It cost them top four.
My opinion is they'll be far too good for Essendon.
Thank you, Cat is 28. Well, where to next? Like, what happens?
If it's straight sets, like I said, no one's thought about that. Let's just stick to the positives and hope that they get through. Nobody right now. That would be a decision You're not basing any decisions right now on getting beaten in straight sets in the finals. If it does happen, then, you'd have to have some sort of reset.
Mm. Our last one of the podcast. Thanks to Kurz Hire, Geelong's local hire company since 1982. A Vacca,
what is it?
Wackerneusen. Well, I think it's Vacca.
Is it a Vacca?
A Vacca Neusen.
I've had a couple of them in the day.
G'day, Team K-Rock. Daz Broncos. Great interview last week with Colo. He was good.
Lola.
Yeah, enjoyed Colo.
I saw the big 6 foot... three Ukrainian yesterday at the golf club. Trundled down there with Nakia Cockatoo.
How was he hitting them? How was Nakia?
Nakia came in and said, how did the big fella go?
On the radio, talking about the podcast.
Yeah. So I'm disappointed. The boys came down.
I'm disappointed Nakia's not a subscriber.
He should be. He'll be on board. Mm. He was just stealing himself for... he's got a dog as well, Nakia. But I didn't ask the name of the dog. But he and Jake had taken the dogs for a walk. And Nakia was getting ready to, I think he's going to drive back to up to Darwin with his trusty
Oh, wow.
With his trusty in
that
the,
is a fair hike.
Yeah, he'll have the trusty in the car with him. Yeah. He'll also have the dog.
Which approach to this final series will be best for Patrick Dangerfield? We've seen in previous years he's tried to win it with his all-or-nothing approach, gotten 40-odd and lost. His form's been good last 3 weeks. Will he try and do it all again or bring his teammates in and trust the process a bit more?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope so. And that's the irony about finals, King, is that I think players probably... Players, you've got to stick to what's worked for you, but it's easier said than done. Everybody wants to be the best player.
Yep.
That's the natural instinct. Mm. You want to play the team game, and you got to talk about the team game, but everybody wants to be the best player, and they've probably played it over in their head a few times about being the best player on Friday night.
Yep.
But it's playing the team game and doing the team things and sticking to what's got you there is going to get you a win. And I agree, it'd be really good to see, you know, Danger play a cracking game, but play a really good team brand of footy. And that's not just with the ball in hand. That's when you haven't got the ball.
Yep. Part two of...
Dad's got a two-parter.
He's got a two-parter. Which of the bottom six on the list must stand up and win their battle to get us home? Would it be Atkins, Stanley, Rowan, O'Connor, Myers or Tui? In my opinion, at least two of them must stand up. But if all six have mares, we are cooked. Well, we don't know who's going to play out of... Atkins, Rowan and Tui. I've got a sneaking suspicion that if Atkins, Rowan and Tui, not all three of those play.
No. And right, yeah. Well, and for
Myers,
me...
Myers, O'Connor and Stanley play.
For me, it'd be Atkins and Tui, but yeah. Leave Rowan out. But I've got a funny feeling they're going to play Gary Rowan because they seem to...
Stanley just needs to...
break even.
Yep.
There's some guys... And that's the one there... So those list of six players yep. that Daz had... It was Myers. Who was the other ones?
Mark O'Connor.
Yeah.
Rowan, Stanley, Atkins, Tui.
Well, for mine, I'd say the two that need to sort of not play well but hold their own and provide something are Stanley.
Yep.
He's got to just nullify Grundy. He doesn't need to be Polly Farmer. He just needs to play a role, negate Grundy from being a dominant midfielder because mm-hmm. Grundy gets it. 20 to 30 times.
Yep.
He's like a giant ruck rover.
Yep.
So you've got to stop him joining in the play and then try and break even at the ruck. But he doesn't need to star Stanley. He's just got to break even. The other one there, if Myers was to play well, I think that would be a huge fillip for the Cats.
Yep.
Because when he plays well, he hits the scoreboard.
Yep.
If he could kick two or three goals, I reckon that would go a long way to Geelong winning the game because he's a little bit of a barometer. He can bob up and kick you a goal potentially against the runner play. Mm. He's quite a dangerous player. He's not going to get a whole heap of the ball, although he has sort of risen to 20-odd touches at times.
Yep.
He's got a massive tank. He and Stanley, I reckon, are those six players are the two that if they play well, Geelong would be well on down the path to getting the Chockies. And, I mean, you want the others to contribute, but those two probably at the top of the tree.
Yep. Now, the skipper plays his 28th final this week.
And Scott Penn will be surrounded at the game, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, well, hopefully that doesn't sool him up too much because he's been a great player, Pendlebury.
Oh, he's a gun.
Oh, he's just silky.
Yeah.
Weights his kicks.
Yeah.
Just has a great, got great vision.
He has.
Great sidestep.
He has time where others don't.
Well, he's the old Paul Couch. He gets the ball and he goes left and everyone's going forward.
Yep.
And it buys him that extra... half a second, and he's so quick with his thought process, that half a second is a killer for the opposition because he uses the ball so well. It's all set up for the Cats. Just they've just got to find a way to produce something near their best.
Yep.
And it doesn't necessarily need to be top of the tree because finals tend to be pressures up.
Yep.
It's slightly scrappier sort of affair. I'm tipping it needs to be low scoring. If they can shut out Degoe and Stevenson, I don't know how Collingwood kick a score.
Yep.
Big enough. So Stevenson is the interesting one. Who plays on Stevenson?
Yep.
Just I reckon O'Connor. Just he's quite. Give him the job and say just shut him out.
Yep.
Don't worry about getting a whole heap of the
where
pill.
If he goes, you go with him.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. During the year, he did a good job. O'Connor on somebody. He went to somebody at half time. It was a game. Might have been at GMHBA Stadium. I'm trying to think. I can't think who it was, but he did go to somebody at half time and completely shut them out. So he is capable of doing that. He's quite agile, which Stevenson is.
Did he go to... Was it somebody from St Kilda?
It might have been. He did a job anyway. And
Did he go to Gresham or somebody like that?
He completely shut somebody out. So he has got that string to his bow. You have O'Connor and Colajasny playing lockdown roles on Dugowie and Stevenson. Buse goes to Elliott.
Yep.
Harry Taylor to Roughhead.
Yep.
Blitzarves goes to Majacek.
Stewart.
And, well, Tommy Stewart, if they play seven defenders, Tommy Stewart, you want him being able to sort of zone off and read and use the footy. It was interesting. Did you see that Tommy Stewart's finals record is not great?
He's only played four.
Well, I think you check his stats, he hasn't covered himself in glory in finals. He'll be out to play really well, Tommy Stewart, and I reckon he'll play an absolute blinder on Friday night.
But so Tommy Stewart,
for whatever reason, it hasn't clicked for him in the finals.
So 2017, he had 11, 11, and 15, and then he had 16 last year against Melbourne. So he averages, 31, 22, he averages 13 disposals.
Yeah, which is way below his season average.
In the first year, he averaged less than 15.
Since then, he's gone up. That was
And then last year, he averaged 20 disposals and he had 16. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's woeful. His rebound 50 numbers, averaging four.
He hasn't had a big impact. And numbers sometimes, just overall numbers, lie in footy because they just chip it round and you end up with 18 possessions.
Well, the thing is, too, the rebound 50 now, because the kick-in is counted as a kick, if your kick-in clears 50, that's a rebound 50.
Yeah.
So you can pad that stat.
Yeah. And you can pad your stats by just playing on from the full back.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And if you're how many possessions you get? That shouldn't be a stat, that playing from full back kick.
But it is now.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. That is just ridiculous, Tom.
Stewart's only had less than 20 possessions twice this year.
Yeah, so he's one that's... He'd be well aware that he hasn't produced his best in finals, right. So I'm tipping he'll produce his best.
But you've got to remember that his first three finals were his 19th, 20th and 21st games, and his last final was his 43rd game.
Yeah.
He's now played... how many games has he played?
He's got that experience on the board.
65.
Yeah. The other thing, I just think Geelong's defence matches up well.
Mm.
No Cox makes any... I just don't know that Roughhead's really a good forward, key forward. He's more of a defender. And Majacek is a good player, but he's not exactly tall timber.
He's in good form, Majacek.
Yeah, just midfield to defend. Starting positions at stoppage is crucial. Otherwise, Treloar, Pendlebury, Adams get hold of the pill and cut you up. They've got to defend well around stoppages, win the stoppages, win your one-on-ones. The defence is set up. Forward line, who are they going to play in Tom Hawkins?
Well, it'd be more if he plays.
Well, who plays on Radigalia?
Good question.
How?
Probably.
Yeah. There's mismatches all in Geelong's favour up forward for the Cats.
Yep.
They've got to take advantage of those. Defend in the midfield. And the defence has been rock solid all year. It stands up again, and the Cats get the chockies and advance to a prelim against maybe Brisbane, because I reckon Richmond will beat Brisbane.
And then the winner of GWS and the Bulldogs will go to Brisbane.
And then that potentially means Brisbane, Geelong, who knows? But prognosticating, and I love to do a bit of prognosticating, Cats could take on the Lions in a prelim, and you'd be getting your folding stuff out down to the TAB if that was the case.
Gamble responsibly.
Yeah, always do that.
6 o'clock Friday night?
Yeah, 6 o'clock on air. King, you're really looking forward to it. Hard to believe the finals are here already, but just go the Cats.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisa dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.